The hard truth is we're never going back 100% the way that we were.
The COVID-19 pandemic has affected virtually everything, and that includes the Journal of Accountancy's annual Accounting Technology Roundtable. After initially recording just before the coronavirus hit the United States, we reconvened during the first week of May to assess the current situation. I am your host, GFA Senior Editor Jeff Drew. This podcast features two of the top speakers in the accounting technology space, Amanda Wilkie of Boomer Consulting and Donnie Shimamoto of Enterprise Technologies, and also features small firm owner Nikki Winston of Nikki Winston CPA. Before we start the conversation, let's take a quick moment to hear from our sponsor.
Increase your tax firm's productivity while working remotely with new online tools that integrate with Intuit Lacerte, ProConnect, and ProSeries. Find solutions that are right for you at intuitaccountants.com/add-ons. That's ADDONS.
Thank you all for reconvening. It's the first time we've had to do a pandemic edition of the JFA Tech Roundtable. So how are you guys doing? How has the pandemic affected you? How has your life changed?
For me, the first couple of weeks, school was on hold for my kids. We didn't know what was going to happen, what they were going to do. And then suddenly it became, okay, we're going to do digital learning for the rest of the school year. The kids need to be on Zoom meetings at this time and this time and this time, and they have these assignments. And so it kind of created some pandemonium in my house, because I'm looking at my calendar and now I'm looking at my kids' calendar like, well, I have a call at 1 o'clock, but my daughter has third grade social studies at 1:30. So how do I make all this work? So I went from being the mom, the chef, the nurse, the maid, the therapist, the Band-Aid person, to now I'm the teacher and the principal and the lunch lady and the custodian and tech support when the Google Classroom doesn't work. And so it took a couple of weeks for us to figure that out and get into a rhythm. And then my son is like, mommy, I need my own Zoom account, because when I log into my class, there's a picture of you and it says Nikki Winston CPA, and I want my own. So now having to go through those sorts of things, and still, even with my calendar, have to shuffle it around and move meetings around to say, hey, I know we have this standing meeting at 1 o'clock, but now I have to be on third grade social studies. So let's figure out a workaround, or figure out if we can convert this meeting into an email and just take the action items from there. So for me, it has caused some pivoting, some quick pivoting on all sides.
The challenges that I heard a lot from my team were very similar to what Nikki shared. Whether they're a working mom or working dad, they've got the kids at home, they're dealing with those distractions. So some of the things that we had to adjust was we had to get some additional, for example, hardware out to people. We had to make sure that they had better headsets that would do more noise canceling, so that if the classroom was going on in the background, that it didn't get pulled into our calls. We had a little bit of that. What I did was also challenge my team to say, well, we don't want to just deliver the same experience to our clients. We want to actually deliver a better experience to our clients. So as an example, with some of the teaching that I do, I actually was just working this week on doing more video integration so that I could actually have the presentation on the screen with me possibly like almost full body, as if I was standing next to it, presenting in person, along with additional information below that may be pointing them towards resources and things. So we started to look at, how do we give a better, richer virtual experience than just the typical webinar or the typical meeting as we're doing stuff. And now we're looking at how do we use virtual whiteboards and things to replicate some of these things we previously did in person.
That's exactly what we're doing, Donnie. We've been working on a virtual whiteboard tool where everyone can get in and collaborate, and it mimics that in-person experience where we would facilitate people through an exercise. I mean, you can even have, the large sticky notes that people would put on the wall, now they're virtual. So we knew the technology was out there. We just didn't have that opportunity, that kind of downtime to look at how can we implement it. And now we've kind of been forced to do that. just like a lot of firms out there, a lot of firms already had remote work policies and they had some people, you know, but there were some questions. Can they really be that productive? You know, can we really support everyone working from home? Guess what? You can if you really have to. And right now you really have to.
Yep. What whiteboard application are you using?
We're using a tool called Miro. It used to be called Real-Time Board, but they rebranded sometime last year.
So is that what you're using, Donnie?
We're actually using the one. There's one built into Teams, so there's an add-in for Microsoft Teams.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. That's what we use. I love Microsoft Teams.
So.
But you don't have to have those as well. Like if you're working with Zoom or any of the other ones, you can just do a screen share using like PowerPoint and give people, you know, remote control, and you can sort of mimic it or think of even like if there's someone that's normally a facilitator, they're the ones that are sharing their screen and then you're working with whatever tool you want to work with.
There are firms that implemented Microsoft Teams a year, 2 years ago, but they didn't really get that adoption that they were hoping to get. And now we've talked to firms who said, well, we were going to implement Microsoft Teams, you know, in the summer and the fall, and we went ahead and did it, and the adoption is just through the roof. So the technology has been there, and I would say that the IT teams and the IT leaders that really put their firm in a good position have either had that technology implemented or were very close to implementing some of these technologies, and they were ready. They were able to make that pivot kind of quickly.
Yeah, I have to say, especially with Microsoft Teams, I used it a lot just to communicate with my team from an instant message standpoint. But now it's, oh, there's a whiteboard. Oh, we can share files here. Oh, you don't even have to open Outlook. You can just open Teams and it'll drop you right into the meeting. So I think in light of trying to discover new technology solutions, it's forcing us to delve deeper into the ones we already have, especially with a lot of companies really managing spend right now, trying to manage their cash flow and defer or pull back on anything that doesn't need to be remitted right away, to say, what do we have in-house that we can leverage right now to keep us going?
So anything else in addition to Teams for you that's kind of new? Or that you had in any other new functionality?
Well, I think we saw a huge uptick in Zoom and firms using Zoom just because it's so easy to use.
I think one of the things to consider as people are looking at this, though, is some people, for example, may have gone to Zoom because it was free. Or, you know, or any of the platforms, because all the platforms did a free offering. And the question is, when that free offering ends, are you sticking with it? So then, for example, if you're already on Office 365, you saw Zoom first, so you went to Zoom and you've got Zoom deployed, do you now migrate back to Teams? Because Teams is part of your Office 365. You know, I think that's some of the things people need to think about. And then the other one that I think a lot of people may not have thought about is really the security around not just Zoom, because Zoom has those, but a lot of it, if you followed kind of your best practices and lock stuff down, you wouldn't have those issues. But am I looking at the security around working from home? Because are they using a corporate device or are they using a bring your own device type of a situation? Because they were already at home and so they didn't want to have to come in and get their work computer, or we only had desktops at the office and so now they're on their own laptop and they're remoting in. Well, there's additional security concerns that we would have because that home or personal device is not as locked down as that corporate device. And they're also not behind the corporate firewall. And so things that may normally have been stopped by the corporate firewall are now not going to be stopped in the home environment. And if they're VPNing in or they're doing other things that might create a network bridge, unknowingly, it can introduce a lot of these security risks into the corporate environment.
Yeah, Donnie, as we've talked to the IT leaders out there, the one thing that they have not really given any leeway on is the security side of things.
I think a key thing you said, Amanda, though, is that you said IT leaders. And so it's the ones that I worry about are the small and mid-sized firms that don't have that in-house IT leader that has a good security mindset. You know, even a lot of the managed service providers or IT service providers don't have that security person. or don't have that background, and they're just like, well, let me just throw whatever the easiest thing was or the free thing was over to the client. Cause we saw some of that where we were like, no, wait, hold up. Don't do that. Cause you don't want to do that. That's going to have some security issues. And so I think just make sure small and mid-sized firms that they're actually talking to somebody with a security background to understand what they should be keeping, or even if we continue to be locked down or have to go back in lockdown again, to make sure they're not, working in an insecure config.
So are there like two or three things you can say are the biggest concerns you've seen, or is that just getting too far into depth to properly cover in a podcast?
The simple ones, and Amanda might add to this, the simple one is making sure that the other device, let's say the personal device, is actually up to date on patches, and two, that it also is up to date on an active antivirus. Those are probably the biggest ones there. And
Nikki mentioned, even your kids now using some of your technology because they have to do remote learning or distance learning. Well, now you have people throughout the family who may be using a firm's device, and a lot of people are working from home and they still like to print. So you've got a lot of security holes that are out there. And I think firms have to, have to keep that in mind. And I think that you discover those things when people start asking to, expense ink for home printers. You start asking, well, wait a second, what are you printing and why are you printing? And if you look at how they're using their machines, you can uncover that, we've got 4-year-olds who are doing Zoom meetings. And again, all of these are security risks. That 4-year-old's probably pretty tech savvy and may install something pretty quickly without you knowing.
Oh yeah. I think the big takeaway from this also is the fact that Zoom owned up to the fact that they experienced all of these security issues. And Donnie, to your point, speaking about the smaller and the mid-sized companies who may not have a chief technology officer or an official IT department, at least they have that commentary where they can say, oh, well, we didn't realize Zoom was even having security issues until they brought it to us. And so now, as we are trying to figure out what next week or next month is going to look like as far as some type of normalcy, then at least we can say, you know what, business might look a little different for Zoom if people are needing to revert to some type of remote working and integrate that into their permanent way of doing things, to say at least we know that they're forthcoming, that they let us know what's going on. And so even if we haven't invested in those additional IT resources, that we at least have something to go on with Zoom. And I think that speaks volumes, because again, it's going to be second guessing and double, giving everybody the double take now. In this new normal is, do we really need this service, or how should our business look, especially from a business continuity standpoint? We're seeing a lot of clients who didn't realize that, oh, I should have taken some time early on and put a disaster recovery plan in place, or I should have identified what my critical business processes are, so that if I'm used to cutting checks at my office, well, maybe now I can work with my financial institution. And maybe they have a solution in the background where they can do a bill pay type of solution where you don't have to be in the office. And so there's definitely going to be a lot of technology and business continuity type of conversations happening.
And Nikki, I love that you use both business continuity and disaster recovery there, because we often think about disaster recovery. Losing an office or losing power to a natural disaster is a lot different than everyone has to stay at home. And do our people have enough equipment to be productive at home? Because stuff started flying off the shelves. And if you still had a lot of desktops in the office, you didn't have laptops available to send home with people. So people are sitting on their couch with just the laptop trying to be productive. Like you said, Nikki, now you've got multiple people trying to work in the house. Do you have enough space You know, are you comfortable? Can you be productive? Is everything ergonomic? Are you risking your health and your well-being in the long run, you know, for the company? And I think I'm definitely getting into some of the non-tech stuff, and I could go down this rabbit hole, but, you know, what is the firm's responsibility in that situation versus the individuals? And I think, you know, the hard truth is we're never going back 100% the way that we were. So firms are going to have to look at long-term, you know, we're still going to be working remotely. And now that the profession has proven that we can be productive and the mindset is changing, we have to think about how does this become part of our daily life long-term.
I think Amanda, you raise a really good point though, because even though we're talking a lot about technology, there's a really human element to a lot of what we're dealing with, you know. And I actually, someone else had just interviewed me for about, you know, the changes related to remote work. And I told them, you know, it's part of it is it's not just that we can now meet, but it's now how do we take some of what we did, like relationship building from an in-person meeting where whoever arrives early starts talking about, hey, how's your kids doing? You know, what's going on? How do you stay in touch? That those little things, that's maybe the 5 minutes when the meeting starts, that can we bring that into the Zoom? So like in my firm, when we start a meeting, before everyone comes on, everyone's talking about what's going on, who did what did you do this weekend? You know, compared to, I've seen other meetings where everyone comes in and it's quiet until the person says, okay, we're going to start. I mean, it's so non-human.
I also think it's interesting that one of the things that has changed is 6 months ago, it was absolutely taboo for a kid or an animal, you know, a pet to be seen on a Zoom meeting. That was absolutely unprofessional. And now it's like, hey, come on in here, Billy, you know, meet the team. And I think that's one of the positive things that's coming out of this is that we can now be so much more human. And the technology is still keeping us connected as such.
Yeah, I'm so glad we got to this topic, because there is no Amanda at the office and Amanda at home. It's one person now. You can't separate those into two different people now. And so I've seen cats, I've seen dogs, my kids have jumped into a couple of Zoom meetings. My daughter actually is studying economics. And so she gave this like third grade version of economics to my accounting team. And so we had a chuckle about that. And so it's definitely a lot less a judgmental type of situation. I had somebody on my team, like, I don't want to turn my camera on because I haven't had my hair done in 4 weeks. Listen, nobody cares about that at this point. I mean, everybody's health and wellness is much more important than a haircut. So, and it's not your hair that's doing the job. So we do take a few minutes on every meeting just to say, how are you? Because I realize I'm working with people who some days they'll say, oh, I'm great. I went outside today. And there are some people who might be living alone or just really feeling the effects of this pandemic. Like, I'm really emotionally struggling. I need to take a mental day and just really deal with everything that's going on. And so again, this should really be an eye opener to the employers to say, as far as employee engagement and some things that they can do to keep those lines of communication open and let people know, don't just go radio silent and turn off your camera, because we don't know how long this is going to last. And I'm more interested in seeing your faces and making sure you're okay, as opposed to worrying about the last time you had a haircut. You know, so we're just getting to a point where a lot of those things that used to matter don't really matter.
And I think, Nikki, you raised a really important point. It comes down to the leader. The leader has to set the tone. And then the other one that I think is important from what you said is to really enable the employee to have that and that connection. And that's like, for example, what my firm did is we pushed out additional wellness resources. We were like, here's additional resources. You know, you may have not known that we have access to this, but here's a wellness course that's free for you to take. Here's a way that you can get counseling if you're running into things. So communicating those things out and making them available and just reminding people, hey, you know, we're here to help and talk to us about this. You know, don't send me an email. Let's schedule a meeting. Let's talk about it if you're having a hard time. Because, for example, one of my employees, she was having a hard time balancing out. And so with between her and her husband and watching the kids. And so we were like, well, let's figure out what schedule actually works and let's set expectations around that. So I know that you're going to work between, say, 12 and 4 and then again between 8 and midnight, because that just happens to be what works for your schedule. At least me as the leader, I now can set my expectation of when I can reach you. And it doesn't have to be during work hours, quote, work hours.
Yeah, that's a good point, Donnie, because in addition to changing the mindset around working remotely and productivity while working remotely, I think we're going to see this as a catalyst for changing the way that we look at productivity. And does it have to be hours? Does it have to be 8 to 5? Or is it about what you can get done in the time that you have? You know, is that enough? Bringing it back to kind of the technology piece, what technology do you need to be that productive and to illustrate and prove that productivity so that we understand the value that you're bringing to the firm and the value that you're bringing to the clients as well? So I think there's a huge catalyst for shifts in mindset, but also a shift in the technology that supports that new mindset.
We've seen a big uptick in firms, actually not just firms, but business industry as well, asking about workflow management and project management and task management software, which does allow you to then track what your teams are doing remotely and where they are in progress on things. And since Nikki had brought up before, like there's also Planner within Office 365. That's a simple task management that one of our teams just started using that because they were like, well, we don't want to have the formal software, but this one helps us do it and it works on our laptop and it works on our phone. And so they started just using Planner and Microsoft To Do because it's included with our Office 365.
To your other earlier point, Donnie, you know, you're using the tools that you have. You've found a pain point and you found a tool that you have to solve that pain point. You know, I'm sure you're going to go back in the long run and ask yourself, is this really the tool that's right for us? Do we need to invest in something that's more robust? We're talking to firms and, you know, if they still have paper in their processes, then they're really, really hurting right now because they can't get that paper from the client and they can't move that paper around an office if no one's in the office.
A lot of the state tax offices where I'm thinking about like sales tax and payroll taxes that are due, a lot of the returns and things, some of them still only accept paper returns. And we're trying to send them emails. We call them and they have these automated messages that nobody's in the office, but send us an email. So we're still trying to CYA and say, hey, by the way, we postmarked our return for this date. We don't know who's going to intercept it, but just trying to deal with a lot of those offices who have these archaic ways of doing things. And it's really going to have them scratching their heads to figure out what are they going to do, because they may have been able to sustain not being in the office and not sifting through the paper for a few weeks. But the longer this goes on, the more the paper mounds are going to build up for them and they're going to have to pivot quickly. And it's probably going to be a costly pivot at that.
We're at the end of our time, believe it or not. So I'm amazed at how much information the three of you were able to get through and how little I had to talk. So I'm sure our listeners are very, very happy with both of those facts. So, and I just want to thank all of you for joining us today. So Amanda Wilkie with Boomer Consulting, Donnie Shimamoto with Enterprise Technologies, and Nikki Winston with Nikki Winston CPA. Thank you so much, and stay safe and stay healthy.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.